11. Pick it up in verse number 23. Do I need to turn this on or is this on? It's okay? All right. I've never used this in college chapel, but we'll try it today. All right? We'll try it. Man, you read verse 23, please. Hebrews 11, 23, and the ladies 24. We'll read together a responsive reading till verse 29. So men, ladies. Man, you start with the odd-numbered verses. Ready? Begin.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Our Father, thank you so much for Golden State Baptist College. And I hear these men read like, man, it's encouraging. And I hear these ladies read like Proverbs 31 women. We're so very grateful. Lord, to be in their presence is such an honor. And to think that they're going to be the ones, by your grace, that will go out and bring a nation and, by your grace, the world to Christ. Will there be one more sweeping revival is our prayer. There'd be one more time where we see that you move in a mighty, mighty way in our world, bringing the lost to Christ. Lord, I'm going to attempt today to be out this afternoon and just visiting people, trying to get the gospel. I pray that we could see some folks saved today. And I pray for our teenagers as they're out today, passing tracks and visiting with people and soul winning. May it be a good day. We think of the service, and most of these will not be there tonight. They're at work. But for those of us that have the joy and the privilege to be together in your house, speak to our hearts. Now, God, in chapel, you have spoken to my heart so much, listening to the voices of these young people and reading the Word of God in prayer. And I thank you for who they are and what they mean to us. And I pray that you bless the preaching of the Word of God in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's take your Bibles, and for you that are new, we clap for other preachers, but when I preach, we already did it, so please, and you did okay, but that's the way we do it. Joshua 24, and you don't need to turn there, but you know the verse says in verse 15, choose ye this day. You make a choice. You know, the choices we make in life, our life hinges, it pivots on those choices. You made a choice to come here. You're going to make a choice to stay or to leave. You're going to make a choice how you leave. I hope you leave with a diploma in your hand. I hope you leave here with something in your heart and a desire to serve God. I hope you leave with a desire to marry right, live right, do right, preach right, and have a great ministry and have a great wife and have a great family and have a great life. Well, you look back one day and say, God's been so good to me. Choose. You have to choose. I heard my son preaching here several years ago on a Sunday night, and he said, we make the choice, but we never choose our consequences. We can choose to do anything we want to choose to do, but there's always consequences with our choice. I've potentially made so many wrong decisions, and I look back, and it was just the grace of God. It's just God's grace, and I'm just so thankful what my life could have spun from this, and instead it's spinning from this. God's been good to me. And young people, I think perhaps one thing, I battled my flesh, I battled wanting to do right during Sunday and Wednesday, and I loved Sunday school, I loved church, and I loved our youth group, and I loved our pastor, and I loved my pastor's wife, and I loved my parents. But I grew up in the 60s where when you went to the bus stop in the morning, everybody smoked. The girls were there smoking. The guys were smoking. And the bus would come and the girls would put their cigarettes in their purses. And the guys would put their cigarettes in their pockets. It's just the way it was. My buddy, my neighbor, John Simpson, 13 years of age, he's never got saved as far as I know. John, at the breakfast table, age 13, would smoke with his dad. It just, you know, you start smoking, you got to know, son, it might not be good for you, but if that's what you want to do, you do it. That was at a moment in time, that's the way it was. And I remember so badly wanting to smoke. I remember so badly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at school, large school, about 2,500 kids. And I remember hanging out with the cool guys, and they knew I went to Sunday school, but a lot of people went to church back then, you know, not everybody, but a lot. They knew about Sunday school, knew about Sunday morning. And they knew Jack wasn't going to smoke, but I wanted to smoke. I was delivering newspapers on a Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. I was sixth grade. My cousin was third grade. And I was delivering those papers on that morning. And I can remember coming around Porter Avenue, Fremont, California, Irvington District. I came around my bicycle with those papers, and I saw a pack of cigarettes, brand new. I said, glory to God. My cousin saw him. He said, hey, Jack, let's smoke those. And he became a pastor. I became a pastor. But I felt like such a sissy because I was a sixth grader. He was a third grader. And I did not have the courage to smoke. Because I remember my mother's face and my dad's face. I don't know how my parents did it. They weren't highly educated people. Somehow they got my heart. I just loved my parents. Just loved them so much. And I never wanted to disappoint them. And I didn't do it because I heard preaching against it. I did not smoke because I knew my, the church would be against it. I never heard preaching on it, but I knew I'd hurt my mother. And I don't think they ever told me, but I knew. It's sort of like when your mother or dad are going to have to get a call from Brother Oxendine's office and then Brother Everson's office and say, we had to remove your son, you had to remove your daughter from school. That's going to break their heart. He said, well, it's just terrible kids that come here. No, it's preacher's kids. My daughter, who's a pastor's wife, she never, ever, she's one of these, I don't think she ever sinned in her life. She's just a perfect girl. And, you know, she got to college here. The dorms were over on Clyde Avenue at those apartments. And a preacher's daughter came here. She was just we're rebellious. And she made some dip for chips that night, and she put liquor in it. And the goal was to get Tiffany to eat it. But she didn't know it was liquor. And she picked it up and smelled it and said, this doesn't smell good. By the way, not only did that girl get removed from school, not because it was my daughter she tried it on, it was all of them that she tried it on, she got removed because she did wrong. And her mother and dad, pastor's wife and pastor's pastor, were so disappointed. And I was preaching one day, and I won't tell you the city. I was preaching several years later, and she came, and she said, Brother Treber, I want you to meet my children. And I met them, and I said, now, do you live here? And we talked about it. And I was just very gracious. You could tell she wanted to do right. And she said, well, I was married, but I'm not anymore. My heart broke for her. I didn't think, oh, boy, you're getting, you know, when I was in school, I wanted to drink so bad. But in 1963, that morning, I made a choice. I'm not going to smoke. Not because I'm a good Christian or because I love the Lord. It had nothing to do with it. Because I love my mom and dad. You know, I gave that illustration here probably 30 years ago. And a man who was a member of our church came up to me. He got saved here. He said, Pastor, I'll tell you exactly. I never gave the address. I said, I'll tell you exactly where those cigarettes were. That's where you, I said it was in Fremont. And he gave me the address. I said, how do you know that? He goes, they were my cigarettes. He said, I get to that corner. Many times a week, I'd say, I'm giving my cigarettes up today. I'd throw them. I described where I found them. He goes, that's exactly where I'd throw them. Here's the street. I said, that's the street. He goes, that's exactly me. I became his pastor. You know, maybe I could have smoked and got away with it and liked, I didn't like it. But the thing is, I made a decision that day. Your life is going to spin from a decision. Some of you, first time, you have freedom for the first time. You have been in a homeschool or a Christian school or an environment where your mother and dad are there and the house and the pastor and the youth pastor. And now for the first time, you're free. And almost every year we see it with somebody. I don't think anybody comes here saying, I just want to see how I can destroy my life. But you're free. You can make your decisions. Joshua said, choose ye this day. You're going to have to choose, and the choice is mine, and the choice is immediate. It's this day. You're going to have to make some choices, young people. I don't know, and you probably don't know, some of you, am I called to God to preach? You may not. I never knew that in college. You may not know that till down the road. So, what am I doing? Just make some good choices. Choose to obey the handbook. Choose to obey the Bible. Choose to obey preaching. Choose to love your mother, love your dad, children, obey your parents. Just choose that. Make some good choices. Choose to get out of bed and go to class and do your work. Choose to go to work at the job. Choose to work hard where all these employers, without fail, say, give us more Golden State kids. Most of you probably, if you want one, have a job already because they want us. I talk to graduation. Every year there's employers that are here that come to watch our students graduate. And they said, we got some more? I walked into business a few weeks ago. They said, I need some more of the Golden State boys. You got some more? That's the testimony of this place. Amen. That's the testimony of these public schools and private schools you work in. They want our kids because you work. Most of you pass the drug test. There has to be a choice. I remember that choice in 1969. I went to Bible college and I flunked English exam. And I look back all through high school. I was a good worker, a hard worker, worked a full-time job junior and senior year, 40 hours a week plus. I was a good worker. I knew how to work. I loved work. I enjoyed it. And then I picked up work on the side. I remember painting a two-story house over here by Mission Peak, riding my bike there after school as a sophomore in high school, painting it for $10. Two-story. I told the guy later, you ripped me off. You know, in 69, I went to college, and I flunked that. The best thing for me was to flunk that English exam. I knew I was going to try. I knew I wanted to be a good student finally. But I said, Lord, sitting on that second floor, I flunked the exam. And I have to take a class with no credit. But I'm going to become a good student. You're smarter than I am. But I tell you what I did. I said, I'm never going to write a paper and turn it in late. I'm never going to. I'm going to turn every paper in. I still have most of those papers. I turn them all in on time. When you had to read a book, Brother Burcham, every single book, I determined I did not want to be a goof off. I did not want to be one dimensional. I knew how to work hard, but I didn't know how to study. And I said, I'm going to read every book. I'm going to listen to every chapel message. I'm going to write notes. I'm going to type them immediately after chapel, which I did. I said, I'm going to become a good student. And my grades reflected. I became a good student. I made a choice. The faculty that I have around me, they're all, they already had made that choice. I hadn't. But I made a choice in 63. I'm not going to smoke. It's amazing how the old devil will put temptation in front of you. I was preaching in Oregon. Every year I preached at that church. I'd stay in the same room, down the second floor, all the way down a long hall, had wainscot up to this point. And I got to my last room, and one night after preaching, I have always now since then had the preacher walk me into my room, but there was a brand new cigarette right there. I wasn't tempted to smoke it, but you know what? I was tempted to pick it up and throw it in the toilet. And I got ready to touch it, and I said, whew, whew. I wonder if I touch that, if I'll somehow mess my life up. I was afraid of it. I left it there and went to my room. You know, I listened that night. I couldn't sleep well. I was at the end of the hall. Nobody would come down there. And by the morning time, it was gone. The devil's going to try to get you any way he can. I made the decision. I'm going to be a good student. I made this decision. I want to marry pure and right. I made the decision in 1970. Lord, I'm a sophomore in college. I don't have anything to offer you. But I really believe my sophomore year, my second semester, the day I wanted to quit, when I finally said to God, I'm not going to quit. That was a decision. And I said, God, I really feel like you're calling me to preach. I was too afraid to be a preacher. I knew the stutterer could not do that. And I'd say, Lord, I'll stutter and I get red-faced and I get nervous. I gave God every reason why I could not be a preacher. And so I said, now it's too late. I'm already going to be a junior. And I'm still afraid. I wasn't trying to be rebellious. I was just afraid. And I went my junior year, and then I knew the senior God was called. I said, I'll go in the ministry. I just can't be a pastor. I want to be, but I can't. And I remember going to the ministry. And I worked for my father-in-law. And then I worked in another church. And those two churches, and God began to stir on my heart. And I could not get away from it. I remember when God called me to preach. You know, that's a decision. Our life is hinged from that. I'm so glad that I listened to God. I wish I could tell you I listened every time. Young people, we have Moses here. And Moses had to make some decisions. You're going to have to make some decisions with your life. Are you going to be kind? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be thoughtful? Are you going to love your mother? You love your dad? You say, well, they're lost. I don't care if they're lost or saved. I don't care who they are. Are you going to love your parents and honor your parents? My parents are Catholic. Well, if they're Catholic, love them as Catholics. It's your mother. That's your father. Pray daily for their salvation that they might come to know God. Tell them you love them. Just be part of their life and respect who they are. Respect these buildings. Respect this area. Drive properly around here. Work properly around here. Moses came to a point. He said, I am going to do what I'm supposed to do. You know the story of Moses. He was in that little ark. And he is supposed to have been slaughtered. But it's an amazing thing. God spared his life. And he got rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth. Some preacher here in this chapel, I forget who it was, like 2-3 years ago, said there's a list somewhere of the 8 most influential men in world history. And they said Moses was one of those 8. I had a radio program on my car the other morning, and I heard the man say, you know what, one of the problems, and he's unsaved, one of the problems in America, our kids don't even know who Moses is. And he said our laws in our country are founded upon the Bible and upon the laws that God gave, and he's an unsaved man. God gave Moses, and he wrote them down. And we have disregard for laws today because we have disregard for Moses. Moses made some decisions. And I'm out of time, so I want you to see real quickly, verse 24. He refused position. By faith, when he was called to come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was next in line. I refuse that. I don't want that position. Stop seeking a position and let God use you in your disposition. Let God use you how you are. He refused position. He refused pleasure. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to tell you, whether it's drugs or drink or alcohol or immorality, there's pleasure in it. But it's for a season. And then you're hinged from that. How did I do that? Why did I do that? I can't believe I did that. And we all have those experiences. Maybe not with those illustrations I gave, but in other areas. He said, I refuse to live my life off pleasure. And we are a pleasure-seeking society. Is it fun? Hey, I'll go to teen camp. Is it going to be fun? Hey, I'll go to youth conference. Will it be fun? Will it be fun? Will we have a good time? Will we go to Great America? And thank God for those things. But more than fun and pleasure and play, how about some things that are right? He refused position. He refused pleasure. He refused his pocketbook. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. All these treasures can be yours. Oh, this is yours. Stay with me 2 minutes before you're down for the count here. He's all this. But I don't, hey, you get in the ministry, and I know there are some that have to be bivocational. I know that Paul had to be a tent maker. But when I received the call this last week of a young man who's got a great job and great ministry in a church and serving God with his wife, and he chose a position of money, got on the side something going, and it grew and it grew and it grew, and now the money's come in, and he chose money over the ministry. That's a foolish decision, young people. That is temporal when God says, I want to give you eternal. I had a pastor one time say, I don't want our kids to come to Golden State. I said, why? He said, I believe in the college. I love the college. I love the music. I love the stand. I love the preaching. I love everything about it. But one thing I don't love, I said, what is it? He goes, the money. He said, I can send them to your college, and they can make more money than their dad. They can be making, today it would be $20 an hour, $22 an hour, $26 an hour. He said, nobody in our city makes that kind of money. And I don't want these kids early in life to be tempted by money. I said, Pastor, you're a great man, and he was. I said, I want to tell you something. That is exactly what you want. You want them to have to make the decision early in life. Is it money or the master? And I'd rather have you make the decision, and I don't for it, make the decision for money before you go and destroy the lives of a youth group. And destroy the lives of a church. And destroy the lives of your own children. If you're going after money, then make that your God. Yes, sir. But I tell you what riches do, they fly away. Amen. Proverbs 23, we're out of time. I'll say this, he refused position. He refused pleasure. He refused his pocketbook. He refused panic. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. What's going to happen? Stop. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, what if it gets so bad they start to kill us? Absent from this body, present with the Lord. Amen. I've lived long enough now. They say, hey, we're coming to arrest you. I say, praise God. No emails to answer, no phones to answer. I get to lay in my cot, get three meals a day, don't pay rent in that jail cell. It's going to be awesome. Just get my Bible in there and read, and I can sleep if I want to sleep and get caught up. It's going to be great. You know, young people, I choose integrity if I were you. Amen. And honesty and respect, hard work, ethics. Our Father, Moses made a choice.